Hello and welcome to the first of what will be several podcasts about the book Gorilla Season by Pat Hughes. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and we're doing a book blog project on the book Gorilla Season. And today I'm interviewing Pat about how she researched the book Gorilla Season. It's kind of an interesting story. Pat is actually from Philadelphia and wrote a book focused on Missouri in 1863. So here's how Pat researched the book Gorilla Season. Well, Pat, can you tell us any interesting stories about how you researched the Gorilla Season book?
I like to do a lot of research with the primary sources, and because it's important to me to find out what people in were really like in the era that I'm writing about, not just how we wish they had been, but what they were really like. So for that, I go to letters, diaries, journals of the era. And in the Civil War, there's tons of primary material. Mm. Because in wartime, people write a lot of letters and also tend to keep journals. And another great primary source is newspapers, but not so much because of the news articles. Because many, not all, but many journalists of the Civil War era were notoriously inaccurate, slanting the facts to fit their opinions. But what I love about Civil War newspapers is the advertisements, because you can find out what people wore, where they shopped, what the plays and lectures and concerts were. You can learn what kind of jobs were available, how much things cost, just tons of information on the day-to-day life in the area of your research. In Gorilla Season, there's the scene where Matt reads the 19th century newspaper that his grandparents send him. Remember that the grandparents use the newspapers to pack the presents.
Yes.
And Matt takes the papers apart and reads them. And those classified ads are directly taken from an 1863 Philadelphia newspaper that I bought.
Wow.
And I bought that newspaper on eBay.
Hmm.
And kids are often surprised to hear me say that eBay is one of my best online sources. And that's because one of the main categories of sellers on eBay are antique dealers. So what I would do is, especially when I started my research, is just go onto eBay and type in the search field, Civil War, or just 1863, and up come all kinds of stuff from the era: stamps, letters, money, clothing, jewelry, perfume bottles, you know, you name it. It's all there in full color, and you can actually see it.
Hmm.
And that's where I learned how people addressed letters back then. That's where I find out how much it cost to mail a letter, and you've seen where Matt needs the, whatever, I think it's 3 pennies to mail the letter. I found that out on eBay.
Hmm.
And, of course, you always have to check your facts and
right.
Double check, as I always tell people, kids and everybody. In the same scene where the kids get the presents from their grandparents, and Ben gets a book called Helped Over Hard Places. I own that book, and I bought it on eBay, so I was able to hold it and see what it was all about and describe it because I had it in my hand.
Hmm.
And then, you know, when I had to find out a lot about, a lot of things because for Gorilla Season, I was pretty much starting at square one. I knew virtually nothing about Missouri in the 1860s, and I had to learn everything from what crops they would have grown, what kind of horses they'd be riding, the clothes people wore, the churches they attended, the songs they sang, you know, hunting and fishing. I've never done these things. I had to find out about rabbit hunting, duck blinds, catfishing, horses, guns. I had never even held a gun of any kind, and I had to find out all the minutiae about 19th century shotguns and revolvers and Kentucky rifles. And then, you know, hours of research on a certain subject would end up being distilled into one throwaway line about Matt melting down his lead to make bullets.
Mm.
So, you know, there I am, now how do you start learning all this stuff? Because books only go so far. There is just an incredible wealth of information available on the internet now. I can't imagine having to try to write this book before we had the internet available. And it's not just the information, but I don't know, is it a term? I think of information portals. Is that an accurate term? I mean, like, for example, I get on a listserv devoted to 19th century shotguns. And first I just lurk, reading everything, and then I figure out who's considered the expert among the experts. And then I'd email that guy and ask if he'd answer some questions. And by and large, these folks are really gracious about sharing their expertise.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm an adult, and I'd never recommend kids contacting strangers on the internet. But another thing about the internet and accuracy that I always tell kids, and Eric, I'm sure you talk to your students about this all the time, is how important it is to make sure your sources are reliable.
Right.
And always cross-check the answers. And in other words, I would never just take the first answer I got. I'd run it by another expert or find another way to double-check, to triple-check it. And then, of course, first-hand knowledge and experience is the best teacher. By a very weird set of coincidences, I was able to hold and to mock fire the exact model of revolver that I'd already put into the text, the whole army, and which I'll always think of as the dead Federal's revolver in the story. And with the horses, you know, I'd never even been on one except sort of pony rides when I was a kid. So I found a place near my home where they give riding lessons. And you also have to tack your own horse there, and you have to curry him, and you have to clean up after him. So there I was in the barn, fitting bits into my horse's mouth and shoveling manure and picking out his feet, which I found totally terrifying. And I even got thrown once from the horse, and that was extremely painful. I remember sitting there just totally stunned, unable to move, and thinking, I bet I can use this in a book someday. So that you know, being able to do things firsthand is just really great. And as for things particular to Missouri, I used a number of primary sources off the internet, or things that I would meet people on the internet and they would tell me about this or that, you know, primary source. But I also did things like I subscribed to the Missouri Conservationist, which I'm sure that you know, and I'm sure many of your students know, and it's just an incredible magazine. I think, don't you get it free?
Yeah, it's free. You just sign up online, and you automatically get it free at your home. I mean, it might be just for Missouri residents free, possibly.
It is. It's free. But for me, it was something like $10 a year, which
is
an amazing bargain.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I continued to get it for years after I stopped researching the book, because it was, I just loved it so much, and I loved keeping that connection to Missouri, and I was just thinking, I'd like to start getting that again. But I mean, it's a gorgeous magazine, and you can find out everything about what grows and lives in Missouri, the birds, trees, flowers, snakes, you know, everything. And they're shill here. Subscribe to Missouri Conservationist, but it really was a great, you know, resource for me. So, I mean, those are just some of the ways to do research, and it's a painstaking process to get it right. But to me, it's really interesting and really rewarding.
Now, in the book, you mentioned the Liberty Tribune newspaper several times, and that I've heard things about, you know, that's one of the longest running, I think it's maybe the longest running newspaper west of the Mississippi. Did you do any historical research with the Liberty Tribune itself?
I didn't really. I mean, just what I could, what I could get off the internet, because there are some things available, little things available on the internet. But usually to get to read copies of old newspapers, unless they're ones you happen to buy off of eBay, you need to go to the library in the area that you're researching. And as you know, Eric, I did not come to Missouri until after the book was published. So I didn't actually get to do research on the Missouri newspapers, you know, other than what's available online.
So there was a small snippet from Pat Hughes about how she researched the book Guerrilla Season. Again, if you'd like to join us, we're doing a book blog right now. And if you'd like to check it out online, it is available at www.guerrillaseason.blogspot.com. And the Guerrilla Season part in the middle is spelled GUERRILLASEASON. We'll see you there. Thanks a lot for listening.